Sarah Rogerson is the director of the Immigration Law Clinic at Albany Law School. Earlier today, she spoke with my co-host, Corinne Carey, about her work at this very pivotal moment in the national immigration debate.
Welcome to WOOC, Sarah. Can you tell our listeners about your role as the director of the Immigration Law Clinic at Albany Law School?
Yeah, so I'm the professor and attorney in charge at the Immigration Law Clinic, and what that means is every semester we have students who are enrolled at the law school, either in their second year or their third year. They aren't allowed to do this right away in their first year, but once they've taken their first year of classes, they're able to take what's called a clinic, and it's an experiential learning course, meaning it's out in the real world. So they move from the textbooks that they've been reading in their first year of law school into a clinical setting where they're working with real clients, with real deadlines, on real cases. So that's a big shift for the students, and it's important to have an attorney supervising them at least once. Sometimes we have two. Usually we have a staff attorney committed to each of our clinics. But that's really where the students gain hands-on experience before they graduate.
Last week, we learned that ICE, the Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, delivered 100 detainees to the Albany County Jail. This was on top of an unusual number of detainees being held there. Can you tell us what you know about this development?
Right. So we had, we were told that there would be 99 who would be brought in last week, and then there were another 101 on top of that. That's highly unusual. In the 5 or 6 years that we've had a relationship with the Albany County Jail in terms of working with detainees in their custody, the highest we've seen are numbers in maybe the 60s, and that was very unusual. So everyone is sort of trying to adjust to an uptick of this many people all at once. They weren't phased in either. It's like, you know, on Monday, there were 30 people in ICE custody being held in the Albany County Jail, and then by Friday, there were over 200. And so we had to mobilize very, very quickly to make sure that we could figure out who they were, where they were coming from, and what their legal needs were.
Do you have a sense of what the conditions are that they're being held in? Is there enough space in the jail, for example? Are they what's it like for them in there?
I haven't visited the facility, but I can say that I've been working with the sheriff to address any concerns that folks have. I understand in the beginning there was not a lot of time for them to have free time, but that was due to some administrative processing, right? If you can imagine how long it would take to process a group of 100 people and then another group of about the same number within 24 or 48 hours. The jail was following protocol, but it's my understanding they're being held separately from the general population, right? So they're in their own part of the Albany County Jail. It's my understanding, based on representations from law enforcement, that they have many more beds than are filled at the moment. So I don't anticipate any concerns about overcrowding. I know that there's also air conditioning, which is really important this week, especially given how hot it is, that they're in an air-conditioned environment. And obviously, any sort of detention is not ideal. There's no reason why the federal government should be detaining people in this procedural posture, people who've come across the border and are seeking safety in the United States and have articulated that they're fleeing their home country. That shouldn't be happening, but because of this administration's tough stance, it looks like that's the only option that they're making available.
So you, the students, some volunteers have been speaking with some of these detainees. Who are they? Where do they come from immediately, and where do they come from originally? What kind of people are we talking about?
So everyone who was brought last week came from, were transferred from San Diego, California. They are, as far as we know, we haven't been able to visit with every single one of them, but we're in the process of doing that. I can say that they come from many different countries. It's not just Central or South American countries. We have folks who have come from India, Kyrgyzstan, Syria, all over the world, really, are folks who are currently being held in the Albany County Jail. And so that raises another logistical issue in terms of figuring out how to get enough interpreters in as many different languages as we need. And so for the first couple of days, we focused primarily on the Spanish-speaking population because we had an outpouring of Spanish-speaking volunteers. But as we work through every single person and identify their unique needs, then we'll have a better picture of where they're coming from and what their needs are right now and what their journey was like to the United States. That's exactly the type of information that we're gathering right now, actually as we speak.
The Immigration Law Clinic has put out a call for volunteers to help you in screening these detainees. Can you talk about what clinic staff and volunteers are doing and what help you need moving forward?
Right. So the law clinic, right now we're in summer session, so we have no students, unfortunately, which means that we've put a call out to the broader community. We have other law professors who are in there who are conducting these interviews, who are either teaching classes this summer or otherwise in the area. We're also working very closely with the Legal Project, which is a local legal services nonprofit organization that trains panels of pro bono attorneys on all kinds of matters from domestic violence to foreclosure. And they have stepped up and have committed their volunteer coordinators and their immigration staff to helping us out. And so we have the attorneys from the Legal Project who are also conducting these interviews. The Legal Project is also making available space for us on July 11th from 5 to 6:30 at their offices, space to train additional attorney volunteers who maybe don't have experience in immigration law or don't have a background in it or just need to have a few pointers on how to interview individuals in this particular situation before they go in and do the interview themselves. And we're making that training available both for the attorneys who are volunteering and the interpreters. Right now, we've had a huge outpouring of support from Spanish-speaking interpreters, so now we're looking for other languages. And we'll be posting the list of those languages, I imagine, hopefully within the next 24 to 48 hours to start recruiting additional volunteers. We've had some non-Spanish-speaking interpreters volunteer thus far, and we're matching them with individuals that speak that language. In the meantime, we also are really in need of attorneys to volunteer, particularly this holiday week. We have slots scheduled all the way through mid-August for attorneys to volunteer. But this week in particular, because so many people are away on vacation or had other plans, we really need any attorneys who are local to step up and volunteer. And we can train them over the phone if they feel uncomfortable at all going into the jail to do an intake or two or three. We schedule them an hour and a half slots all throughout the day, and there are evening hours available. So we can usually accommodate just about everyone's schedule.
We're speaking with Sarah Rogerson from Albany Law School's Immigration Clinic on the Hudson Mohawk magazine. Sarah, you called into the studio today. You're locally based, and normally we would have you in the studio, but you called in because you're actually in court hearings and you're in meetings with folks at the jail. Can you talk about your work today and give us a sense of what some of these families are dealing with and what you as an attorney are dealing with?
Yeah. So the workload is crushing right now. If you know an immigration lawyer in your life, you should give them a hug. It's been pretty brutal, and it hasn't just been the last couple of weeks. It's really been since this administration took office. But right before I jumped on the call with you, I was actually at the Latham office and at the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services office. To represent one of our clients here at the clinic who just happened to be scheduled for an interview not during the calendar year. We can't control when our clients have their cases adjudicated. And I can't speak too much about that case because it's currently pending. But it's nonstop for immigration lawyers. We barely have time to breathe in this environment. Because of the way that things change on a day-to-day basis and trying to stay on top of whatever the administrative orders or the executive orders coming out of the White House, how they impact our cases. This morning, before that interview, I was on a call with attorneys from statewide organizations and from the Liberty Defense Project through the governor's office in order to strategize about what else we can do for the individuals who are in the Albany County Jail right now. For example, we do know that they have not yet had what's called a credible fear interview, and that's a particularly sensitive stage of the process. And so it requires attorneys with specialization in that kind of and training and legal information to be able to speak with the individuals to prepare them for that. So we're going to be mobilizing that arm of this outreach effort as well. And really, we're calling on attorneys all over the state, which includes logistics, right? So I've also this morning talked with one of the lieutenants at the jail to coordinate an attorney who needed to speak with several of her clients who had been moved from the Batavia Detention Facility into the Albany County Jail Facility prior to the last two waves of individuals who were brought from San Diego. And so coordinating that, the jail has been incredibly transparent, I will say, and the sheriff has been very proactive in helping us figure out logistics, like how do people reach their attorneys? How do we secure phone lines to make sure that those conversations are confidential? And those are some of the things that I was tackling this morning with the attorneys on the outside and the jail administrators inside to see how we can put those in touch with their attorneys who already have them.
So you're concerned about people being held this week in particular because of the holiday. What kind of an effect does delay like that have on some of these cases? What are some of these families dealing with when they're dealing with a delay?
So right now, immigration is all about delay. I think this administration has slowed down lots of different application processes, which ultimately results in people being detained longer because if they do have an application for a form of relief, it may not be adjudicated for months or years, and they have to wait until immigration decides to make a decision.
And wait in custody, Sarah, is that what you're saying?
In some cases, yes. Not in all cases. And in these cases, we're dealing with recent arrivals, so they wouldn't have an application pending. But one way that the process is slowed down is if they can't get before an immigration judge for a number of weeks to determine whether or not they're eligible for bond, they may sit in custody without a bond hearing because of the backlog. We're still unclear as to whether or not how immigration judges will be made available and if they will be made available to hear these cases. It's unclear whether or not the judges in Buffalo will be doing that by telephone. There's a lot that's up in the air right now, and we're working on tracking down that information. And once we know, we'll mobilize our attorney volunteer and all the attorneys across New York State who are working on these issues in that direction. But until we have more information from the federal government, we're also waiting to see what happens next.
These are extraordinary times in terms of immigration legal work, and I thank you for being here today. Do you still have a need for volunteers? And if so, how can people learn more and get in touch with you?
We do. Especially attorney volunteers, and especially this week of the holidays. There has been an incredible outpouring, but we could always use additional volunteers. Anyone who would like to volunteer either as an attorney or an interpreter, and unfortunately, we can only take attorneys and fluent interpreters at the moment. We're looking for things that non-lawyers can do, but in the meantime, that's our focus. So if you're an attorney or an interpreter who's fluent in both English and another language and you would like to help, email CRIC, C-R-I-C, at legalproject.org, and that's all one word, legalproject.org. And that is the central email that we're using to organize volunteers. You should get an automated response with an online training so that you could check out the work and see if it's for you. And if it is, a volunteer coordinator will be in touch with you shortly to see what your availability is and get you plugged in.
Great. So that's, I'm going to say the address again. Why don't you say the address again?
Sure. It's CRIC, C-R-I-C, at legalproject.org. And that stands for the Capital Region Immigration Collaborative, which is housed at the Legal Project and is a group of about 40 individuals and organizations who've been working for many, many years on issues impacting immigrants in the Capital District. So again, it's CRIC, C-R-I-C, at legalproject.org.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Sarah Rogerson of Albany Law School's Immigration Law Clinic, who talked to me about the recent influx of detainees being held in the Albany County Jail and what local lawyers are doing about it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.
In our next segment, we hear from Yusef Tadros and Finn O'Connell, students in the Department of Latin American, Caribbean, and U.S. Latino Studies at SUNY Albany. They worked with their fellow students to produce radio pieces about race, class, and cultural identity that air every week right here on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.